We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified.
We're going to take a little pause from Proverbs this evening. And I don't know exactly where this study is going long term, so we'll see. But I do know in the near term, that is this evening, what's going on. But, well, I'll put it this way. Even back in college, my undergraduate, I always thought, why don't we have a class on prayer? And found that maybe a lacking thing in some Bible institutes and even seminary. And maybe it's hard to devote a whole class to prayer. I understand that challenge with everything else that needs to be taught. But I think in a context like ours, we would say it's worth at least 1 week of consideration, if not multiple. And so this is kind of a developing study, if I could put it that way. Maybe that will eventually be something more of a half semester study or something like that. And so just kind of some introductory things about prayer this evening that I'd like for us to think about, with the objective that I hope that it'll not only, it'll do multiple things. One, that it will cause our time of prayer to be more sweet, something that we look forward to more in our lives and have a desire to carve more time out of our day to pray. That's a personal objective of mine in this study, is to enhance my prayer life. And I had the privilege of a week or two ago attending a pastor's prayer fellowship, and it was convicting, a reminder to me to devote more time to prayer. And maybe you feel that. Maybe that's been your case in your life. Maybe seasons of, better times of prayer and more time devoted to prayer, and other times where you feel like, a whole day's gone by and I haven't really communed with my Heavenly Father. And so with that, I hope that it will enhance our personal time of prayer, but also our time of corporate prayer as well. I'm thankful for the fact that we devote a whole service, or half of a service or more, to corporate prayer. Of course, we pray on Sunday morning too, multiple times, and a specific dedicated time of bringing up requests to the Lord that are on our hearts during the pastoral prayer. But I hope through this study that it will help us to pray better, if I can put it that way, and to think more about how we can glorify God through our prayer worship. Prayer is that, is it not? Is it worship? We believe it is. And so we don't want to put a little emphasis upon it as kind of something that we just do on the end of a message, although we often do that, and it's a good thing. But it is certainly more than just that. It's more than a silence filler. It's a time to worship our God. And so this is really introductory material. It's not anything new. But I do hope some of you young folks out there will be taking some notes this evening and maybe share what you learned or heard from this evening's study on prayer. And so with that, let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer and ask for His help as we study. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for a profitable evening, a few minutes here of thinking about what prayer is and why we should pray, how we can pray, Lord, and guide me, the speaker, Lord, to be helpful and to be faithful to Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is prayer? What is prayer? In view of the large place that prayer occupies in the Word of God, I haven't done all the studies and running of Numbers, but certainly in the New Testament, I think it's Luke and Acts make up the largest amount in which prayer is mentioned, but many other places as well. It may seem strange, and it seems strange to me that we don't have no really clear definition of what prayer is in Scripture. We don't have a biblical definition of it, but we have many examples of it and many exhortations to be in prayer. And so I think it's good for us to think about that, as simple as a question as it is: what is prayer? How would you define prayer? Well, I think one simple and good definition simply is this: prayer is communication or talking to God. Prayer is communication or talking to God. And there's nothing really mysterious about prayer, although I think for many it does seem very mysterious. Have you ever had or experienced that, or someone who's not used to, accustomed to praying, comes to a service and maybe sits in a prayer meeting, and you can tell they're a little bit uncomfortable, you know, whether or not they should participate or why we're praying, why out loud. But prayer is really not that mysterious at all. If there is a creator God, and we believe that there is, who has revealed himself to his creatures, it is to be expected that he will desire his creatures to talk to him. And we believe that, right? We believe that we have a creator God. We are his creation, and so it shouldn't be out of the realm of expectation that we should commune with that creator. Now, we'll leave aside for a moment the question of, you know, who does God hear in prayer? And that is, who can pray and God will hear? That's a question we'll answer at a later time. But leave it at that it is not beyond the realm that we should be expected to pray to our Creator God. And prayer is directed toward the true and living God who has spoken to us. Of course, there are many religions out there who have as a very prominent aspect of their religious beliefs prayer. Probably those who come to mind first would be Muslims, right? Calls to prayer. And, you know, maybe I could put it on not directed toward you directly, but just believers in general. Shame on us for a false religion who has such devotion to prayer that we have so little attention to prayer in our lives often. But we believe that our prayer is directed toward the true and living God. Unlike other religions who have people or beings they pray to, or even statues for that matter, but our prayer is heard because it is to that true and living God. He is a living being. He hears. He's not like the idols who have ears that have been carved but cannot hear, or mouths but cannot speak. He is living and he is able to hear. There's no special language of prayer. That is, certainly we don't speak in tongues in prayer. That's not for this day and age, the speaking in tongues. But we speak to God as a friend, but also as our holy God at the same time. And so it is right that our language express the respect that is due a great God. But I think we are also warned in Scripture at the same time, and should not fall into a prideful kind of attitude, that is, speak to God as a friend and as a holy God, but not to speak with lofty language that would, can I put it this way, would not normally characterize our speech, as if we're a different person in prayer than we are, you know, in our normal conduct. Now, certainly that means that our normal speech should be reverent and holy, but we're not to, you know, think of ourselves more highly in prayer or pray in such a way that's drawing attention to our wording and to our language and to, you know, grand speech, but with humility to a holy God who is our heavenly Father and friend. There's nothing unusual about prayer, rightly considered. There is a natural desire for any being to have communion with its own kind. And when one is born into the family of God, he longs for fellowship with the one whose nature and life he shares. It's not unusual for you to commune with your and speak with your blood family, right? Your parents, siblings. So why would it be abnormal to speak with our Heavenly Father in prayer? Indeed, it is abnormal for a child not to want to talk with his own father, right? We would say, should say the same about our Heavenly Father. It would be abnormal if a Christian does not want to commune, does not want to speak, you know, is on a no-speaking terms, the silent treatment. That would be abnormal for any human relationship, and concerning, we might say. And so is the case for one's relationship with our Heavenly Father. So, as Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We'll look at many other verses throughout this series on prayer, but just one to begin us off with. And so, with that then, we've kind of carved ourselves a definition of prayer and what it is. But what about the categories of prayer? I think we've reviewed these probably before, but again, maybe for you young folks, this is can be helpful as you think about, how do I pray? Pastor Matt was mentioning before our prayer time, you know, some of you young folks who maybe find it challenging to sit here through prayer, and I felt that, and then I felt the other maybe next stage, which was when I felt that I should pray and was old enough to, not really that you need to be a certain age to pray, but maybe had the boldness, then the question became, well, how do I pray? How do I shape my prayers, and what do I include? And so hopefully these categories, even this evening, will shape your prayer life and maybe even give you the extra kind of boost of confidence that here are things that I can pray about and that can guide my prayers, whether it be in private or maybe around the dinner table. Maybe your dad has asked you to pray, and you can pray along these lines. 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you have your Bible, turn there. We'll just look at one verse there for a moment as we think about these categories. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writing to Timothy, but really the whole church as well there, says this, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Go on there just for a moment, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So Paul here is giving us a little bit of instruction on how we can shape our prayers, the kind of prayers that we should pray. And of course, this is in the context of encouraging the church to pray for not only believers, but also rulers and those over us who have authority over us for the reasons he mentions in verse 2. But this is helpful because it gives us some categories to think about. And so just thinking about these categories for a moment, I start with the one, giving of thanks or praise. These kind of prayers are prayers that are expressions of gratitude to God for who he is and what he has done for us. I think perhaps this is the category of prayer that we sometimes find lacking, maybe in our own lives or even in corporate prayer, where we pause and give thanks to God, not just for what he's done for us, although God loves to hear those prayers, but what about giving thanks simply for who God is? Have you taken the time to thank God that he is holy, he is merciful, he is just, he is righteous? Thanking God for his sustaining power over all things, for giving us his word, for revealing himself to us. You know, maybe that just seems like listing things, but the more we pray about those things, I'm convinced that we will really begin to appreciate those things more and see how God is merciful and gracious and righteous throughout our daily activities. And prayer, as I said before, is a form of worship. I think we could go as far to say, and the ultimate purpose of prayer really is the praise of God, right? I mean, even in the requests that we offer and ask about, I hope, even though I'm probably guilty of it myself often, it's not simply because we just want healing of someone or we want some situation to be resolved that's pressing upon us in our work or family life, but ultimately because we want through that situation for God to receive praise. And so thanksgiving and prayers of thanksgiving and praise should be on our mind constantly and really as the ultimate purpose of our prayer, that God will be praised. And I've often heard many of you end in that way, you know, would you be glorified and honored through this situation or this this sickness even, that others would look to you. Let me just give you another verse here, a thought in Colossians chapter 1. Get there, Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Paul gives us an example of praying, as he often does in these Pauline epistles, where he gives thanks to God. He mentions why he is thankful, but that his thanks is directed to God. He says in verse 3 of Colossians 1, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. There's another one, Philippians chapter 1, also verse 3. He begins this way, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And he goes on. That's a wonderful pattern that Paul sets for us, is it not? To begin with thanks to God, thanking God for who he is and what he has done, not only in our own lives, but what's the example here in both these sections? Well, giving thanks to God for what he's done in others' lives, not just our own, but how God has worked, how God has provided, how God is building his people, how God is shaping them into Christ through his Spirit. There's many things we can thank God and praise him for. And so I encourage you to continue in that way in your prayer to give that thanks to God. There's other categories, though, we want to get to here this evening. Not only are there prayers of thanksgiving and praise, but also ones of supplication. Think of that verse we read there in 1 Timothy 2:1. He actually begins with that. First of all, supplications. What is a supplication? That's kind of a more uncommon word these days. What about one of you Carnes boys out there? You have a definition of what a supplication is? You didn't expect to be asked on the spot, did you? That's okay. You think about that. I'll give you my answer, and then we can compare our answers later on here. I think a good way to define a supplication is a petition or request. A petition or request. Perhaps most specifically, it's asking for some particular thing that one desires to have. Now, maybe we can nuance that more, because certainly there are many things we pray for that are not aligned with God's will. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't hear our prayers, but simply that it's not in his ordained will, it's not in his moral will, perhaps even, that he will answer that particular request. But that does not mean we cannot put our requests before the Lord. We're encouraged to throughout all of Scripture. And we have examples of that. Daniel chapter 9, just give you one example here. Verse 3. It says this, Daniel 9:3, then I set, this is Daniel speaking, my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him, with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. And he goes on and prays a lengthy prayer here in chapter 9. And so supplication is a petition or a request. Maybe we recognize that oftentimes most of our prayer lists are compiled of these kinds of requests, and many having to do with health needs, and I believe the Lord sincerely wants to hear those requests, those concerns of our heart, but perhaps we can also bolster ourselves by praying beyond the health matters, but to things of spiritual matter. Daniel certainly gives that example for us in chapter 9 of praying for forgiveness, for God's mercy, that God would redeem. In fact, it's interesting if we were to read later on in Daniel chapter 9, the whole reason in which Daniel desires for that, for God to be merciful and to restore them, is for the sake of God's name. How often do we pray that way, that God would do a work in order that his name would be glorified and not discredited and looked down upon? And so we have prayers of supplication. We have other examples. Well, let me give you one more, 1 Timothy 5:5. I think this is the one I'm looking for. Here we see, let me start in chapter 5, 1 Timothy 5, verse 3, honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues, what? In supplications and prayers night and day. Obviously this is speaking toward women here, but I hope one day that when I can't do a lot in terms of, well, maybe getting around, that I have a desire and devotion to be someone like this, who's devoted to prayers and supplications, lifting up God's people, praying and asking, Jesus remind us in his word, we have not because we ask not. God is willing, but we often do not request. And then we have another category here, not only thanksgiving and praise or supplications, but we also have the general just prayers. We've read a few of those examples even here in 1 Timothy 5. This is the broadest word used to refer to many kinds of prayers, which may include worship and adoration and praise. I think that kind of encompasses every kind of prayer and request that we might give. And then we have another one that's similar to supplication, and that is intercession. Maybe the way you can distinguish the two is supplication perhaps is more general and maybe even more pointed toward ourselves, things we're praying for in our own life, whereas intercession is often used in the sense of praying for someone else. We're interceding for someone else in the situation. Perhaps, well, certainly the one who does that best is Jesus himself. Hebrews 7:25 reminds us what? That he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Does that give you comfort even this evening? In your lack of perhaps praying as you ought to or would like to, that there is one who never tires, never ceases to pray and intercede for us. He is praying for us in heaven, even this evening. And it is our duty and privilege to pray for others down here while he is up there. So I pray that you will do that. And we have many, again, examples of that for sake of time. We won't look at those here this evening, except for, let me look at just one here. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. Paul says there, another prayer passage, that he does not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Going on in verse 18, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What is Paul doing here? He's interceding. He's saying, I'm praying that these things will be accomplished in your lives. Again, I think oftentimes our minds, when it comes to intercession, again, is a laundry list of health needs. Again, I think God does want to hear those prayers, but what about praying for the growth of others, their sanctification, that they would know and enjoy God better in their lives? And then I've added a final category that I think many do, although it's not listed particularly in the 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 that we read. But that is prayers of confession. Prayers of confession. It's often used in the sense of the admission of wrongdoing. In other words, it's taking God's side on the matter, agreeing with him that he is right and we are wrong. In confession, even I think Pastor Matt mentioned some of this past Sunday on repentance, but like repentance, this idea of confession is a practice that continues after salvation. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We do well to include these kinds of prayers in our prayer life, prayers of confession. Sitting down, kneeling down, and praying in our mind or out loud, in our thoughts, and confessing sin to God. Confessing it specifically, the particulars of it. Seeking God's forgiveness. Knowing that we will receive it because he has promised it. There are many churches that even incorporate this idea of prayer of confession in their corporate prayer. I think there's something to that. Certainly, we don't want to ascribe particular sins of people that they haven't necessarily committed, or at least of late. But simply, you know, praying and confessing, perhaps, you know, things like confession of a lack of love for one another, or lack of concern for the lost, or any kinds of matter that we could confess, and as a body, a family. You know, maybe you've done that even in your immediate family. You've had maybe time of family devotion, and maybe even as a parent, you confess to your child, you know, we need to be doing better in this area as a family. Why not apply that to our church family? As a family, we need to love our Father, our Heavenly Father, more, and we need to be about his will better, prioritize his desires above our own. Well, there's more we can talk about here this evening, but let me just end with these few thoughts here very quickly. Other passages of Scripture give glimpses of other facts of prayer. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And so prayer is the activity of the child of God telling his Father in heaven what he needs or desires, just, again, as we said, an earthly child will his Father express his desires to him. Matthew 7:7, Jesus used vivid language when speaking of prayer. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. I think there's intensity and an earnestness of purpose in this language. You know, prayer is like seeking something that you need or want very much. know, many of us, if there's something we really want or need, we're gonna make sure we find it and find it quickly because we want it. It's useful to us, maybe a tool or, you know, a kitchen item. And so we seek it out. Where can we get it? Why not that kind of earnestness in prayer? There are other expressions used for prayer, especially in the Old Testament, and from what then we can determine that prayer is communion with God. Again, as we said, it's talking with Him. And in that communion, we will express our gratitude for Him, for His many blessings, worship and adore Him for who He is, confess our sins to Him, asking Him for things we need, all because we know that He will pray, or He will hear as we pray. Well, we're going to have to pause there this evening. I've had a number of other things to share here about why we pray. What are the grounds for that? Why is it so important? And maybe we'll hopefully have time for that another time. But let's close again in prayer this evening and enjoy some fellowship. Heavenly Father, we barely scratched the surface of this topic. And I pray, Lord, that though some of this is, well, prayer 101 for many of us who have been in the faith for many lengths of many years, Lord, that even still it will be a reminder of how we can fill out our prayer life, and that it will remind us that we have this rich blessing before us, that any hour, any moment, at any time, for any reason, we can go to You. Lord, it's not like it was even somewhat, in the Old Testament with a priest and a mediator of sorts, but today we have one mediator, the man Jesus Christ, who is in heaven interceding for us, and so we can go directly to You, God, through Your Son. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, what a duty. What a privilege. Lord, even forgive us this evening that we have not taken advantage of it like we ought, individually, corporately. Lord, may we continue on in prayer, steadfast. In Jesus' name, amen.